Welcome to So-and-So, brought to you by Bernina, Made to Create. I'm Meg Goodman, and you're about to enjoy a casual conversation with a special member of the sewist and quilting community. A conversation about how they got started, what inspires them, what excites them, and their connection to this community. Our guest today is Tristan Detweiler, a Southern California-based surfer, artist, and model, born and raised in San Diego. He's also the founder of Stan, a clothing brand based on sustainability, surf culture, and storytelling. He taught himself to sew in his fraternity house at USC while studying fine art and graphic design. His artistic practice led him to use textiles as his medium. In his junior year, he began to experiment with vintage clothing reconstruction, embroidery, and creating art out of found clothing and textiles. Tristan bought his first industrial single needle and hauled it into the fraternity house dorm room, where he set up shop and started selling his designs, making that dorm room into a pop-up shop. He said the dichotomy of frat house and couturier was always funny, but the sorority girls from down the street loved it. Since then, he's taken his practice to his mom's garage to produce his last two collections, and now into a couturier retail storefront workshop at the Platform in Culver City, Los Angeles. He is currently working on 20 looks for New York Fashion Week in September. Hey, Tristan, and welcome to So-and-So.
Thanks so much for having me, Meg. It's awesome to be here.
You know, we've got a lot to cover today. You've got a really interesting story, and you actually had a pretty unconventional start to your sewing adventure, because to begin to learn to sew, you took apart half of your wardrobe and pieced it back together with the other half of your wardrobe. So tell us about what influenced your interest in sewing and how this all initially began and worked out for you.
It's been such like a natural evolution of really an art practice. So I went to USC and I graduated in 2019. But in about my final semester there, in a design project, it was about professing your design manifesto. So kind of like a profession of everything you embody as a designer, as an artist. And so in this project, I decided to take an old denim jacket that I have and put everything that I believe in as an artist onto it, kind of like upcycling this jacket to make it into a wearable piece of art. Mm-hmm. I realized like, wow, this is like not only like cool art, but it's functional and I can wear it and share my story, like wearing it on my sleeve and talk about it.
Literally on your sleeve.
Yeah, exactly. It was a literal and metaphorical kind of practice. So from there, I'm like, wow, this is kind of cool. So I found some, you know, old denim in my closet and old t-shirts and started putting them up and kind of putting them back together, learning to sew on my mom's old sewing machine, and started to learn how to embroider on it and do all kinds of methods of kind of clothing construction, just making it into art. And then from there, I just through my surf travels, I started falling in love with old textiles and the stories behind them. And so I would take these textiles, and then I thought, oh, these could be made into wearable pieces of art too. And it kind of just escalated from there.
And we're going to talk about some of those textiles later on in this podcast. So what's your inspiration as you create these days?
It's always been the same for me, traveling and surfing. I come from San Diego, and my everyday is based around surfing in the waves. It's kind of become like my spirituality, my religion in a way, as cliche as that sounds. I think every surfer might say that, but it's really become like just a huge part of my life. I kind of operate around the waves. If there's good waves, I'm not going to go into work. It's kind of kind of always the way it's been. But it also just clears my mind and allows me to reset and kind of gives me a clear outlook on moving forward. So when I get in the water, it kind of resets me, gives me balance, and I can kind of, you know, I always pull things out of like just an hour in the water, and I get out and I'm like ready to create. That's just my constant inspiration, just kind of the flow and energy of the ocean.
So let's talk a little bit more about your company, Stan, which you launched in 2019, and you based it on sustainability, surf culture, which you just talked about, and storytelling. Tell us about that launch and your journey to today.
Yeah. So after school, at the end of school, when I started this pop-up in my dorm room in the frat house, I realized like I can sell this. I can sell my artwork, and it's wearable, and it's clothes, and upcycled clothing was kind of like happening about 2 years ago. People loved it. People were interested. So I'm like, I'm gonna start selling this. And it was like me making art, and I was also making some money. I thought it was really cool. And so it kind of grew into the taking old textiles and kind of creating the garment from start to finish, and learning how to do that. And so I started to make this line of clothing out of old found textiles. And I kind of created this little collection about it. And in March of 2020, I was asked by this company called Rowing Blazers, just through a friend who owned that company. He really loved my stuff, and he said, can we carry some stuff on our site? We think it'd be an awesome fit. They're kind of this upscale men's streetwear, kind of blazers and mm-hmm. kind of classy wear, kind of in the price range that fits mine and the customer that fits mine. I thought it was, oh, cool opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I launched, I think, 18 jackets, one of a kind, on their site, and they pretty much all sold out in about a day, like mostly that first morning. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of huge confidence booster. I was like, oh, this is like awesome. I can make something out of this. And so from that, I got a good amount of press and like a few, I guess just like a few people like saw it. Because people who have followed this company, and I got written about in the Rob Report and got some interest. And then about a month later, I got a call from this company called Agentry PR. They're a press company, and they run, it's called Men's Day, New York Men's Day. And it's like the Monday of New York Fashion Week every year. And they've been doing it for 10 years. And so they invite 10 men's designers every season to show their collections. And so I was just traveling in New York at the time, just kind of on vacation, and I get this call, and I'm like, I don't know what Fashion Week is. I don't follow.
You know
this.
Now,
just,
don't you?
Oh yeah, like, eh, sort of. but so there, I get this call, and they're like telling me what it's all about, if I'm interested, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, and so I'm like, let me think about it. And I mean, I'm just kind of a yes man. I think saying yes leads to opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, all right, let's do it. And they're like, okay, are you working on like your collection? It's like in 2 months. Are you working on your, I guess, spring summer collection? And I was in New York just traveling and just hanging out and surfing. And I'm like, oh yeah, for sure. Like I got a team back home working on it right now. Uh-huh. And little do they know, I'm like 23 and I make everything myself. And so I booked a flight home. This was like 2 months till like the show. And so booked a flight home the next week. And on the way back, I contacted like everyone who curates textiles that I know and went on auction sites and just got like 20 or 30 textiles online because I didn't have enough to create a whole collection. So I get home, and in 2 weeks, I created 20 jackets in my studio.
In 2 weeks?
Yeah, in 2 weeks. It was brutal. And so my deadline was to shoot the campaign. So this was all virtual last year. So my deadline was to create this campaign video and lookbook. Like I also had to produce the whole collection video and the whole branding campaign. So I was like, okay, what's going to be like authentic and what's real to my brand? So I rented this 1972 VW bus, and I took two of my really good looking friends that also surf. And I'm like, put on these jackets. And we just drove down the coast in this bus and just surfed all day. And I had my friend film it. And so I showed that in Fashion Week. And from there, I got a good amount of press because I'm one of 10 men's designers. And, you know, it says 23-year-old like model and surfer and the creator of this brand. And so I guess long story short, I got asked to do it again. And that was last winter's collection, or was it? Yeah, the end of last year. And from there, I just, it kind of got just a lot of reach. I was written about in, like, since then, the New York Times 3 times. I've been written in Vogue maybe 3 or 4 times. GQ, Women's Wear. I'm on the Vogue roster, Vogue runway roster. So they review my collection every season. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just been, moving forward. And then after my last collection, after the last show, I was asked if I wanted to have a pop-up space in Culver City, for the summer, and just kind of move my, they said I can move my studio in there. I could sell out of there. It's a retail shop. And so that's what I've been doing the past 2 months, and I've got one more month of that. So this pop-up workshop in Culver City. And that kind of leads me to today, where I'm, and what I'm, I guess what I'm doing now.
Kind of a whirlwind in 2 years.
Yeah, it's been, I left out probably a lot of details that I could go into, but it's been, yeah, it's only been a year and a half really. And it's been one thing after another. There's been no stagnant, like, times. I've just been constantly moving, which has been awesome. Opportunity after opportunity.
Now, you have a unique relationship to a quilting group that all started with your friend Claire, who you met just by chance. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it must have been I guess it was before the pandemic. So maybe the beginning of last year or the end of 2019, I was at this little sewing and notions shop in Encinitas. It's like North County, San Diego. And I was just, getting some thread and stuff. And this lady comes up to me and she's like, "What's a good looking young surfer like you doing in a sewing shop?" And I'm like, "I'm into quilts," and kind of just got into that. And she's like, "Well, I'm like, I'm a lifelong quilter, and I'm in, she kind of told me her story, and we just really just got along right there, had an awesome conversation. And then at the end, she's like, "Well, I have like a collection of maybe," she really understated this because I think she's actually a quilt hoarder, but probably about 150 quilts. She probably said she only has like 50. Mm-hmm. But she's like, "I would love to show you this this collection." She prefaced, I normally only show my collection of quilts to friends that I know for at least 10 years, because they're, I guess, it's kind of an intimate thing. It's her collection. And so turns out she lives like 2 minutes from where I grew up, the house that my parents live in. And so she invited me over, and I saw her incredible collection of quilts. And she, ever since then, she's been, passing along these quilts and the stories to me. And not only that, but she introduced me to her quilting group, which is, Elevenhain is the little town that I live in, and it's the Boomin' Quilters of Elevenhain. And so it's about, 10 to 15, maybe 80 to 89 year old women that get together on, the first Tuesday of every month and, quilt and have quilting projects. And so I kind of joined this, and just to kind of see what it's like inside of a quilting group. And they kind of really accepted me. And I think they all found it just incredible, my interest and my storytelling and my continuing of their art practice, and me wanting to forward that into this next generation, because they see, only their friends, and they don't want their stories to be lost with their generation. And so they saw that as I expressed it. And so I came pretty close to their quilting group, and a few of them in particular. And so my last New York Fashion Week collection, I based it all around that and their quilting group. And not only that, but also one of the ladies who also lives down the street from me, her husband's, I think, great-grandfather settled on that property in 1886, and they were like the first people to come to this Liebenhain colony, and they homesteaded there. I think they got 450 acres, and they raised like three generations of families there, and they are kind of the beginnings of this town. And what's amazing is that their house and their property still has many aspects and original buildings that look exactly like they come out of the turn of the century, which is incredible. It's like you're stepping into a museum, and there's like war memorabilia and quilting and beds from, you know, 1910, and there's Model T's, and it's insane. And so I talked to the husband one day about his family and his family's stories at the property. And he's like, I don't want the story of my family to be lost with me. I want to do everything to continue that story. And I said, well, that's what I'm doing with quilts. And so I asked him, I didn't want to impose, but I asked, can I use your property and your wife's quilting group to be the backdrop of this collection? And then I can also like do my best to continue the story of your family and the property here. Alongside quilting. And so he was just enthralled by the idea. And so I shot my whole last campaign at that property.
And hence the storytelling part of what your company is based on, in addition to the sustainability and surf culture, the storytelling really just came out of your relationship with this quilting group.
Exactly. And with relationships, like, with other relationships, like there's plenty of happenstance relationships that I've gotten out of just sharing my story. Just like Claire, like I was on the East Coast doing a little quilting trip, I think 2 winters ago. And I was just going up into upstate New York and kind of the Northeast. And I met this lady she was an antique dealer. I just kind of ran into her on the street in Kingston, New York. And she told me about that she kind of has a few cool quilts that I maybe would want to see. And she's like, well, actually, my mom her mom was 90 now. And she's like, my mom used to curate quilts for the Smithsonian American Quilt Collection. Mm. And she would love your stuff. And so she shared with her my brand and my story. And she was just like over the moon about it. She loved it. And so she's been passing on some quilts to me from the Smithsonian Quilt Collection for the past year, and we've maintained contact. And so there's been a few relationships that I've built like that have come really authentically, that have really inspired me to continue the stories. Not to mention just families that I meet that maybe they're granddaughters of quilters, or they've been passed along textiles through their families, and they hear what I'm doing and they want to pass those along to me so I can forward the stories of their families.
You know, it's interesting how the relationships got you to, or it got the textiles to you. And you actually use textiles as old as 140 years, which is fascinating. Some of these, you say, have been forgotten over time. And when you use these, they unveil the narratives of travel, ownership, wear, mending, love, families, and they have been passed down over generations. So your sustainable aim is to breathe life into each textile that you touch and honor its uniqueness. You've talked a little bit about how you source and acquire your textiles. Are there other ways that you acquire these, especially, it's interesting, the one that's 140 years old.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite part of starting this and starting this whole brand and being sustainable and finding textiles was traveling to do it and going to, you know, small little towns in America, and through my surf travels, I've gone to really cool little cultures in France and Italy and in Europe. And I'd find these stories of these textiles, and they were beautiful, but I guess the beginning of last year, everything shut down. So I had to halt my travels. And that was like a big root of my brand was traveling to find these stories. So kind of had to turn things and go virtual. So I maintained the relationships that I already created. And then I harvested new ones just by being virtual. Everyone was virtual. So I would contact people, and now I'm in touch with different curators and different quilters. And there's kind of just enough surplus of people that I'm in contact with that provide me with enough textiles to last for a while. And so, but as soon as, you know, this COVID kind of releases a little bit and you're able to travel more freely, which I've started to do just on road trips and things like that, but haven't gone out of the country in a year. But as soon as I can, I want to start to go into these little cultures around the world again and unveil their cultural textile stories and try to find new ones. And yeah, just because that's kind of one of my favorite parts of this is going to the undiscovered places and kind of pulling things out of little cultures. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned the stories. Are there any particular stories behind some of the pieces that you've used that you can share with us?
Jeez, there's endless. I think the most notable quilts, I've started to use amazing new textiles just with some curators that really know textiles and worldly ones. I've found these just incredible Turkish filikles, which were, you know, these were like kind of rugs that were given to emperors. And I've used these like 17th century French tapestries and amazing things like that. But I think the most amazing quilts and most deepest stories are the autograph quilts or the signature quilts that I would find, because you can track back the names on these. So like a signature quilt, for those that don't know, is a quilt that's signed usually by family members or maybe a certain town or a congregation, kind of a memorabilia quilt. And so I found a few of these, and you can kind of track back the stories through the names. And there was this one in particular that it's so hard off the top of my head, but I think it was a church congregation in Ohio for a church that burnt down. And there's probably 80 little squares on this quilt, and each square has maybe 8 to 12 embroidered signatures, and each square is like a family. And so the lady that I got this quilt from did most of the research, but she said that one of the men on the quilt ended up becoming just a very scholarly doctor, and I think he was part of the creating the vaccine for, I forget which one it was. It might have been, it was maybe cholera or something like that. And he played a big part of that. It's just really cool tracing back. This guy was a part of this congregation, and then it all ties together. But there's endless stories like that. But they're not always so intricate, but they're always loving and they're always beautiful, because I'll run into this lady and she's like, my grandmother was a quilter, and I've been passed along this quilt. It was my mother's, and she used it for me as a baby, and then I've had it my whole life. And so every story is at least that, and touching to a specific family and a specific, and has touched so many lives along the way. You can see through at least 3 generations that it's probably touched at least 15 people and been notable in their lives.
Do you then turn these quilts into your clothing collection?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so I'm transforming it. I believe that people pass them along to me because obviously they appreciate them, but they see better place for them in a way that's understandable, I think, to our generation. And I think I've heard from most of my quilting friends that quilting in general has been on a little bit of a decline the past 15 years. There's, mm-hmm. I think, a little less interest in it. There's still obviously a lot and big communities that play a big role.
I think COVID might have changed some of that. I think there is a little bit of a resurgence, which is awesome.
Maybe so. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I just believe that me making them into kind of relevant styles of wearable art is forwarding the message better than them just sitting in attics or collecting dust, like most of them have been doing for upwards of 100 years. And a lot of families don't even know that they have these anymore. And they're like, oh, I found this hidden in the basement and it was my grandmother's, but like, mm-hmm. I don't have a use for it. So continue its story, give it new purpose. And a lot of people believe in that method and what I'm doing.
You know, you mentioned when you were traveling in New York and you got the call to be at New York Fashion Week, that you said you had a team working on things, but it was really you that was doing all the sewing. Are you still doing all your own sewing?
Yeah, I do. I've been working with this lady that I met maybe 6 months ago, and trying to adapt her to creating this clothing out of such versatile textiles. And it's difficult to kind of translate that, because throughout the process of each clothing construction, you have to adjust and not only like your machines and your needles and your foots and whatever, but also, you know, the way that you handle it. And you have to do patchwork in between, and you have to, you know, be ready for things to rip, because and you have to handle them differently because there's so many materials. So it's been hard to translate that. But I'm trying to work closely with this one particular seamstress, so she can kind of help me relieve some of the, you know, just day-to-day sewing, because it's a lot. but up until now, yeah, I've created everything. It's insane to see. For the past year, I mean, I've been in my mom's garage creating all this, and things are on racks, things are on couches piled up, like spread throughout the house. I took over my mom's living room and the garage and every part of her house, and the styles that I created piled up. But then I moved into the store 2 months ago and put everything like nicely on, hanging up on the walls. And I was just astounded by everything that I've created. Mm-hmm. And like, I can go around and be like, I remember making that, I remember stitching this, but like, there was so many. I took a seat in my little cutting table right when I moved in and everything was set up, and I just sat there and I always forget to appreciate, like, you know, everything. I'm just a big self-critic. I forget to appreciate what I've done and created. And it was just incredible to see everything that it's my works of art. And I've created so many unique works of art that mean so much over the past year.
That's a special moment. What's your hope for what people think and feel when they experience your creations?
I mean, I'm coming from such an authentic place that's meaningful to me, of making art and storytelling and kind of branding that all around the culture that I believe in, which is kind of which kind of plays into the styles that I create, which is kind of the cross between like what I'd wear as a surfer and that, like, to the beach, and then what I'd wear as a surfer to kind of go out at night and go get some drinks. And that's kind of the style and the lifestyle that I'm based around. And it just comes from such an authentic place to me. So I'm trying to forward this authentic message. And I want people to be receptive of the stories and the authenticity in what I'm doing and where I come from, and that it comes from only a place that's close to my heart and close to the evolution of my art practice. Because I take my inspiration from my own travels and my own surfing adventures and coastal road trips. I don't take inspiration from fashion. I don't take it from the runway. I don't take inspiration, from anything that doesn't make sense to what's close to home to me. I only take it from my lifestyle and my culture. And that informs everything that I create. And I do think that, you know, me being authentic, people have really seen that. It's like, especially they walk in my shop and I'm sewing right there and my stories are on the walls and my art is on the walls and they're like, I get it. Mm-hmm. It's quilts, it's story, it's 24-year-old designer, he's making art right there. People have been receptive of that. And, you know, that's all I can ask for.
You know, you've got a lot going on right now, the store and fashion week and surfing and acquiring your textiles. What's next for you?
Yeah, that's always been the question, but I've never really stopped to think what's next. There's just always been something brewing. So I'm working on these 20 looks, which will be around a 60-piece collection for Fashion Week. I'm also working on another collection for this retail shop called Ron Herman. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to try to work with buyers closely so they can express my brand in an authentic way, like in their stores. Because, you know, it's easy to tell my story when I'm in my own shop and I'm there. But I think it's difficult for people to really understand the message of each jacket when it's just hanging amongst other jackets in a retail shop. Mm-hmm. So I'm working with, I get asked all the time by retailers to work with them, but I want to make sure that the buyers and the merchandisers and everyone a part of that retail brand can really understand and forward my message in a way that is real to my brand and kind of helps me helps my pieces differentiate and show itself in an authentic way. So I'm working on that, doing a little capsule collection, and there's a few other retailers I'm doing that same thing with just to try it out. And then I actually just was asked to show a look in the Met exhibition during the Met Gala. It's like a 2-week exhibition, kind of around the lexicon of fashion. And so I'm showing one look, and right next to me is going to be a look from Ralph Lauren, which is insane. Mm-hmm. So they kind of matched up our two outfits ensembles. And that'll be showing during like the Met Gala, for this exhibition, which is really pumped about. And so that's kind of like the next few months for me. And then, you know, things kind of just come out of doing other things. And so I'm sure by that point I'll have the next move, but you know, I'm just going to continue to just make art and that's just what I love to do and try not to lose my artistry really.
You know, there's so many amazing things coming up for you soon. What's your dream?
Oh, I kind of feel like I'm living my dream, honestly. I'm like just so enthralled every day to do what I'm doing. And to go into my workshop and to create and to talk to my curators that I'm working with, my quilters, and work on this Fashion Week campaign and build a story and find amazing textiles and amazing stories every day and be inspired by these textiles and the stories to create new designs. Like I'm just every day I wake up and I'm just absolutely pumped to go create this. And then, I obviously balance that a lot with surfing, and those are the two things that I really care about. There's nothing else in this world that I've really cared about more. I mean, besides family, but I feel like I'm just really loving life and everything that I'm doing, and I'm getting awesome feedback. And so, I mean, in a way, I feel like I'm just living a dream. And if I can continue doing this, then I think I could be happy for a long time.
That's a big thing. And we've talked about a lot of big things today. You've shared a lot with us about what's going on and how you got where you are. And I've asked a lot of questions. But is there any question I didn't ask that you wish I had?
When I talk to people about what I do, the biggest thing that I want to put across is my authenticity, and my influence and my inspiration, and the foundings of why I do this and how they're maintained today, and the integrity of who I am and my brand. I want people to understand, that when faced with comparison to other brands, I think that if you look like even a sentence or two into my bio more, then you'll understand my authenticity and doing what I'm doing, and how it comes from my art and my evolution of art, and that building up throughout my whole life, and me storytelling, and me being the modern storyteller of these ancient textiles. And I think fashion can be a pretty shallow and unforgiving space. It's given me an awesome platform to showcase, but I think that people are ready, especially with the culture of canceling and like kind of the quickness of and readiness of people to kind of just shut down other people who are putting themselves out there. So, I mean, I've really appreciated this platform of fashion to showcase. But I just, as I'm showing in the realm of fashion, I just want to continue to show people and for people to understand that, like, what I'm doing is authentic, and it means something, and it's, you know, not bad for the planet, and it's prolonging story and realness and family. And it's not just like, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be in the space of fashion if it meant like adding to the production waste of what fashion does, and adding to, you know, our ecological footprint. I hope that people can take the time as they see what I'm creating to like just read a sentence into what I'm doing to understand like why I'm doing this.
This has been a wonderful conversation, Tristan, and I want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. I have no doubt that our listeners would like to reach out to you. And if they want to, what's the best way for them to do so?
Probably the best and easiest is just on my Instagram. It's called Stan Clothing, STAN Clothing. I always reply to messages and DMs, and willing to share anything. So yeah.
That's great. And thank you again so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. And there you have it. Another story about someone just like you, someone for whom sewing and quilting is so much more than a hobby. It's a way of life and a connection to something bigger. If you know someone you think has an outstanding story, a story that should be shared on this podcast, please drop me a note to emmygoodman@theflintrock.com and put "you should hear their story" in the subject line. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform, and visit our website, soandsopodcast.com, for more information about today's and all of our guests. That's SEWANDSOpodcast.com. And finally, I'd like to thank Bernina for making this program possible. I'm Meg Goodman, and I look forward to you joining us next time on So and So.